You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome in to the Locked On Pacers podcast. My name is Adam Friedman. I am a staff writer at IndyCornrows.com and one of the co-hosts of Locked On Pacers podcast. So usually on Monday you get me, the great old Tony East, Super Duper Tone as I call him, former Twitter name. He won't admit it, but that's his former Twitter name. But Tony is sadly preparing for an interview today, so he is going to take Monday off, and we're going to be back together for usual weekly pod on Tuesday, and we're going to have another one again on Friday before Christmas weekend. But today on the show, I'm going to do a little bit of a unique thing. So every once in a while, I like to talk about basketball with a non-basketball fan, because sometimes, you know, somebody who's away from the everyday grind of watching every NBA game, being involved in every Pacer game, checking the standings, checking the scores, whatever, has questions, sees things that you just don't see when you're with the team and you're looking for things. You know, a NBA junkie looks for certain things in a basketball game. They look for the pick and roll up top, the screen, the double pick to get Bogdanović open in the corner, or Oladipo trying to put his hands up to swipe balls. You know, you just look for certain things, but then there's the person who doesn't watch those pictures every day, doesn't watch basketball, just kind of is like, what is that? Why is that guy moving like that? Why is this guy better than this guy? Why, you know, I can see athletic why that guy's better, but how is that guy who's not athletic scoring 20 points? That type of stuff. So all that is kind of a way for me to justify bringing on somebody also who's kind of unqualified. But so on today's podcast, I'm actually going to bring on somebody who follows sports. He's a hockey, a football fan, not an NBA fan, but loves the NBA and is my girlfriend, Marina Higuera, and she is going to ask me some questions she has about the Pacers. So bringing on right now is Marina Higuera. How are you doing, Marina?
I'm swell. I'm scared.
So you're going to have to speak up a little bit louder because the mic isn't quite picking you up.
Yay.
So she is still, you're still not loud enough. I'm about double your sound almost.
I don't like to scream.
I'm not screaming. So we've already started fighting, so that's great. So before I get to your questions, I'm just going to recap a couple Pacer things. The Pacers won on Sunday, which would be yesterday, which is on Monday, 109-98, 97 against the Brooklyn Nets. Oladipo had another great night. He had 26 points, but he did play 41 minutes. Something to watch out for is that the Pacers play a back-to-back. They're playing the Celtics tonight on Monday. So something to watch. You know, his minutes were a little high, but Oladipo usually brings the energy. But watch out on those pull-up jumpers if his legs are a little dead. Turner had a pretty nice night, 16 points. Sabonis had 17. Corey Joseph, 15. Overall, you know, Nets are not a very good basketball team, so easy win for the Pacers. Good get back on the winning side of things after losing back-to-back games against Oklahoma City and Detroit. So, Marina, let's get right into your questions. So, I have a question for you.
Yes.
What sports do you follow?
I like hockey. I like racing. I don't like it, but I follow it. And I follow football.
So this is an Indiana Pacers pod. I mean, there's a lot of Indianapolis people. Why do you like racing so much? What is your dad? Why don't you tell them what your dad does for a living?
My dad is the manager for AJ Foyt. Currently, in the past, he was chief mechanic for Target Chip Ganassi Racing for like 15 years, and then worked for Sam Schmidt and various other racing teams. So, but he's with AJ Foyt right now. So I don't necessarily like it, but I pay attention to it.
All right, so he right now is going to be doing Tony Gannon's car this year for those racing fans out there. Might be some, might not be. Who knows, really, on this show, whether people are racing fans or not. So, what questions you got about the Pacers? You know, you don't watch a ton of Pacers. We talk about them. I try to get you to watch them, but you don't always watch them, let's be honest. You pretend you do. You follow them. You don't follow the scores. If they win, you text me. You text me. It's whatever. But you watch the game tonight. I made you watch the game tonight. You occasionally pick up a game and so on when you're around me. So what's some questions you have about the Pacers?
Since Tony's on my mind, I'll give him a shout out. I see a lot of his tweets that he thinks jerseys are ugly this year. I would like to know why, not necessarily why they're ugly this year, but in recent memory, what would be your favorite jersey? How do they decide? And why do they not, the yellow this year is so bad? from when they played Oklahoma City the other night. I just, when I turned it on, it was just so ugly. And I would like to know who designs them and why.
This is a very loaded question. So let's start with the end of your question.
Yes.
The yellow jerseys are not the greatest looking thing. One, you might not have noticed this. I don't know. Did you notice? They have a stripe on them. Both the jersey have stripes.
Yeah, I did see
So it's a fainted stripe. So I watched Oklahoma City with a couple friends of mine who are actually Knicks fans who didn't really notice it at first. I had to point it out to them, and they're like, oh, why do they have it? They're kind of ugly. Like, they're just very obnoxiously yellow. They're all part of this new NBA switched to Nike. Nike bought the contract, so they made new jerseys for Nike year. So the Patriots have now three jerseys. Well, four jerseys, a white one, like a navy blue one, that obnoxious yellow one, and then they have a hickory one, which is like IU colors, white IU colors. So, you know, I don't know why they picked these. I think I do like the blue one, and I do like the little, they have little, like, almost triangles coming out, like in a circle coming out of the name. It's not terrible looking, but the yellow one is very obnoxiously yellow, and the stripes look kind of weird. It's some part of this, like, we grow basketball here. That's their motto. It's like all part of the cornfield type of thing. I just do wonder whether the yellow ones will stay in rotation or whether they'll fall out pretty quickly, but I think when you do a jersey, you commit to it pretty long term. Favorite jersey, clearly, probably with most fans, is the FloJo one. It's like from the 80s, I think.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
They wore it a bunch of times in the throwback years. Like, I think 2 years or 3 years ago, the year Paul George was hurt, they wore their throwback jersey. It's a pretty good one. You know, they've had a lot of ugly jerseys. They used to have these really obnoxiously – they used to have these yellow with obnoxious blue stripes, like up, straight up and down, like like almost like overall type of stripes. Or not overall, plaid stripes. It was very kind of obnoxious. Yeah, they had that, like these blue stripes in every jersey they had. So they had white ones with the same one, yellow ones, and they had blue ones with the yellow stripes, I think, something like that. So those were obnoxious. FloJo's were fine. Most recently, before these jerseys, the last these jerseys were all just solid colors. They had the solid yellow, which actually looked pretty good when – you played in a big playoff game because the whole crowd got golded out. Yeah. And it wasn't obnoxiously yellow. It wasn't the brightest. This yellow they have now.
No, it was like soft yellow.
Yeah, this is a little brighter. And especially that Oklahoma City game. Oklahoma City jerseys were weird, too. They were like those orange
those
letters.
Those were so much worse.
Yeah, with the light blue, sky blue, whatever. It was pretty obnoxious game. Pretty obnoxious. But the thing about the NBA is they love making a ton of jerseys because that's NBA sells a ton of jerseys. Probably more than any. I would say more than any other sport they sell jerseys because –
ton of money.
How many people do you know that go to a party and wear jerseys?
Larry Bird.
Yeah.
No matter what school you go to.
It's an Indiana State Larry Bird one. You'll see that one a lot.
Give me an eye,
you'll see a lot of the Kobe, Lower Marion ones.
See some Carmelo Anthony from somebody's school.
Yep, Syracuse. You'll see a lot of those. Yeah, so that's why NBA sells a ton of jerseys. They like to make a ton because they can sell a ton of jerseys. And people like the weird colors. I mean, like, the amount of younger kids that like neon colors that like NBA jerseys is ridiculous. You know, you
like
forget that kids under 15 love neon colors. Any kid under, like, 15 loves neon. So that's why they're that way. Not to keep going on that, but that's why the jerseys are like that. But, yes, the yellow ones. Tony and I went to the Toronto game 2 or 3 weeks ago now. They wore those jerseys. We thought they were obnoxious, too. So we're with you. Maybe they'll soften them up next year. Maybe they'll make it, like, a little, like, 1 degree less yellow. I don't know what the scale, you know, color scales are, but make it a little less. So then what's your next question?
Thinking of Larry Bird. I want to know the public's opinion if they're still listening after my uniform debacle. I just need to know. I know that he doesn't look like Owen Wilson, but whenever I think of him, that's just the image that pops into my mind. And today when I was thinking of questions, I was like, I should probably Google him just to make sure that he looks so, like, do other people think that?
So is that a comment?
I don't know. I think it's like a question. And it's like, it would be like a good poll question. Do other people think of Owen Wilson like Larry Bird and vice versa?
So
I don't know.
So question, is Owen Wilson a good looking guy in your opinion?
No, but I don't really think Larry Bird is that attractive either.
Okay.
He looks like a nice Southern Indiana boy.
So, in my opinion, I never thought of Larry Bird or Wilson, just because I know how tall he is. So, I always think of Larry Bird as, like, Big Bird, just because
he's, like, 6'8", right?
Yeah,
or something?
He's got to be 6'9". That tall. He's shrunk because he has a bad back, but he has the long neck, so I think of him as Big Bird. But, I mean, Larry Bird, all respect to Larry Bird, he's one of the best NBA players of all time.
Well, yeah, but that doesn't mean he's not,
you know, Owen Wilson, I mean, it's not like he's got a lot of hair, so it depends on you're in that type of thing. But Larry Bird doesn't really have that. Larry Bird has a more, I think, Big Bird type of look to him. But
Larry Bird, if you're listening, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean that.
Larry Bird, if you're listening, hit me up if you're Adam 5 and hit Marina up. What's your Twitter name?
Don't follow me. It's Marina Higuera, but I'm not going to spell it out so that you can find it.
Higuera. You should follow her.
Yeah, actually, follow me. I like to roast Adam a lot in public.
All right, so now that we got past the looks of Larry Bird, I know your next question is maybe if you go this way, what's your next question?
Bogdanovich, probably. Because him and Sabonis look alike.
Nice job on the names. You nailed them both right.
Thank you.
Pronunciation and everything. That's impressive. I don't even do that half the time.
I pride myself. Yeah, I'm not surprised. there's several questions wrapped into one. See, I can pronounce their names, but I can't speak basic English.
You pronounce it pretty well. You're fine.
Why do they look alike? And why are there's...
Boban Bogdanovich.
I hate that.
Okay, so that's actually a great question.
There's so many, and why do they look alike? And why did their parents name them so similarly?
So just like me on a podcast earlier this year,
please help me.
Marina thought Bojan and Boban Bogdanovich were related, which is not like out of the question. Their names are the same, almost the same. They don't look alike. Boban's got that weird nose and. Bogdan does not look
anything. I saw a statistic on Sports Center that was like of the Bogdanoviches scored a certain amount of points for like a total wrong team that was not the Pacers, and I screenshotted it and I was about to send it to Adam and be like, look at how bad Sports Center messed up. And then it turns out I'm just stupid.
Yeah. So there's a couple things. No, you're not stupid. Sorry. I'm looking at Google right now. You're not stupid. I made the same mistake. Don't worry, you're not stupid. The first thing is, Domantas Sabonis is nothing like those. They're white. I mean, that's what it is to it.
White people look alike.
You can say that. I can. You're not white, so you can say that.
I'm pretty white. He's only 21?
Yeah, so Sabonis is...
Are you kidding me?
He's a year older than me, basically. So Sabonis...
He's so much more successful.
Okay, calm down. I have a podcast. You don't. my Nate and Martin out there are enjoying this.
My God.
So Boban and Bojan are both from Eastern Europe, Serbian area. They're all different ethnic groups because the way the Yugoslavia thing, I'm not going to the whole crisis thing we talked about in history class. There's a huge thing. They're all part of the former Yugoslavia. Bojan is from Bosnia, I think, and Boban is from actually from Serbia.
Wait, so are they related?
No, they're not.
What?
Now, Sabonis is different. He's from Lithuania, so he's from the north. That's the north part of Eastern Europe, essentially. Sabonis is nothing related. He looks like Bogdanovich in some sense because they both have that Eastern European look. I mean, you know, we all know what it is. It's the Eastern European look, nothing bad about it. Sabonis is different. He's actually from Poland because his dad played professional basketball. They're the thing. But so Boban and Bojan are not related. They don't even play for the same national team, which is kind of crazy.
I don't.
But it's actually Bogdan, but it doesn't matter. I've been saying Boban. I'm thinking of Boban Marjanovic, not Bogdan. So... But they don't play for the same national team, like I was saying. Bojan plays for, I believe, the Croatian team, actually. He's somewhere in that area. But Bogdan plays for the Serbian team. But yes, you were right. It's like crazy. They have this, their last name is spelled the exact same, and they have like one letter off. Man, Bogdan has got the G and the D instead of the J. My answer here at the end of the day is no, they're not related. It just is not. They're not. I can't tell you why they're not. It's like people live in, you know, you forget in Eastern Europe, a lot of people have the same last name because they were, like I said, both Croatia, Bosnia, whatever, were part of Yugoslavia, and so was Serbia. So it's like the same area. It's like living in it. It's like if you were from, I'm trying to think what it's like saying.
It's just a regional name.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm sure there's people in Texas. Common. There's people in Texas and people in Mexico have the same last name because they share some of the same nationalities.
White people with the last name of Smith.
Yeah, exactly. So that's basically why.
They just both happen to have weird names in America, in the NBA, with the same first name.
But if you didn't know, Bojan is Tony's favorite player, and he crushes on him.
I do see that a lot, because he has, like, a bungalow or something. I want to join it. I don't know what it is.
Bungalow, or I just said it was,
no,
like...
No, probably.
Because usually you call it, like, a player island, like, so a common thing would be, like, he's dying on... A famous one is Dion Waiters Island, which is like an NBA player where it's like he stinks and people are still on his
voted life. Off the island.
Well, no, like on an island, like you're the only person still believing in him, kind of thing.
All right.
And so Tony built this whole thing where he was because Bojan kind of stunk for the first 5-10 games and got kind of going. He's like only one, but now he's not. So, but I don't know what a bungalow is. I really don't. I'm sure it's some kind of thing you live in.
It's like a
right, but yeah, like an isolated. I don't know. I like the island thing better, but we'll see if
Tony's. No, bungalows are cool. They usually have a very tropical vibe. If there's drinks, I would like to be included.
Doesn't make sense, but whatever. Bowen's having
a
good year though.
It sounds fun.
But Bowen's actually having a pretty good year.
But not. Oh God, their names are still. No, please take them away.
No, I just Bojan. I just want to hit Bojan with some props. I've been averaging like 15 points, like 14, a little over 14 points a game. He's shooting like 42% from three, and his last 20 games are even better than that. He's been one of the more surprising Pacer players this year. Like he legitimate could be the future Pacer shooting guard, small forward. You know, he's 28. He's pretty young, still 28. He looks a lot older. You see him,
like he's 55. Right, he's young.
He's young. He's lived in the NBA 3 or 4 years because he started, 4 years because he came in when he was 25. So he has a shot at being the long term Pacer. I like Bowen. I like his, maybe the Pacers re-signed him to a long term deal. He was kind of an underrated player because, I don't know, he just people thought he couldn't play D. But he looks pretty good out there and he looks really old. It's just what it is.
Okay, wait, I'm going rogue. How long has Sabonis been in the league?
So Sabonis is in his second year.
Okay, and how old is TJ Leaf?
Deer Leaf is 19, I believe, going on.
So basically, they'll have the same amount of experience by the time. Like, what? TJ Leaf will be.
So TJ Leaf is 20. He turned 20 on April 30th. He's actually 5 days older than me, and he's younger than you. Older than me by 5 days, younger than you. Just so you know, TJ Leaf plays in the NBA. Plays in G League right now.
Well, I'm a woman, so I would be playing in the WNBA, so it doesn't matter.
No, okay, that's not my point. So Leaf. So Sabonis in his second year was part of that trade. Leaf is 1 year younger than him. So and then Bogdanovic is 7 years.
Yeah.
So Turner is the same, is 1 year older than both those guys.
Side note, Miles Turner looks like the asparagus from VeggieTales.
Well, he's one more NBA season, but actually the same age as Sabonis, though.
Okay.
Because Turner's birthday is in March of 96, and Sabonis is in May of 96.
What?
Yes. Turner looks like the asparagus, but Turner's been really good. Turner had a good game. Those two are the future building blocks. The Pacers. TJ Leaf might be. He's a little skinny.
Miles Turner, I have a crush on you. You kind of look like asparagus, but it's like a cute one.
All right, we're going on 16 minutes now, 17 almost.
All right, I want to ask my important question.
Yeah, your last question.
Go ahead and ask it. Don't understand why people that write for the league or who podcast or who report or whatever treat these players like they're robots. You use so many projections and so many statistics to defend your points of why they should be doing this and why, you know, at the end of the season, the Warriors will have won 82 games or whatever, because perfectly, Kevin Durant should be able to do this and Steph Curry should be able to shoot from here. And like, this is his projection and this is his possibility, but there are so many external circumstances surrounding these players that obviously not everything can go to plan. So why do you all rely so heavily on statistics that might not even like work 2 days from now?
Okay, so that is a loaded question, but also a great question. We kind of prepped that one before because I was talking to you what you're going to ask, and you said that, so.
I started to get really stressed.
Yeah, you started to get really stressed. Like you could hear it in your voice at the end of this question on the podcast. But this is actually a really great question. So the first part, I have several parts. The first part of this question is, the reason people love these stats is because part of the growth of the NBA has been in this. So it's been in the kind of, I'd call it the nerd world. I'm part of it, so I call it, I'm definitely an NBA nerd. Love the stats.
Just a nerd.
So baseball was America's pastime because it's all about numbers. Baseball, the history of baseball is all about this guy hit 300, this guy hit 50 home runs, this guy, you know, it's all about this, like, number stuff.
Yeah.
That's what matters most in baseball. 3,000 hits, 500 home runs, 300 strikeouts, 3,000 strikeouts, whatever. And so, but as people stop watching baseball, they've kind of taken that and put in the NBA in some sense. So that's kind of those kind of fans. So that's been part of the growth of the NBA is because it's expanded from just, like, people who play basketball. Like, a lot of sports, like hockey, is very niche. You have to play hockey to like hockey. You know, if you don't play hockey or haven't played hockey, I know you probably didn't play hockey, but it's kind of thing.
I don't even know how to skate.
but it's one of those sports where you have to have somebody who had a connection to playing hockey that kind of gets you into it. Versus like basketball, it's like you could just look at the stats. You know, it's different than that. It's kind of the fancy aspect of it. But two, it's one of the only sports where a single individual can literally swing a game in a way that no other sport can. So yes, football may be a quarterback, but it still takes the running backs, wide receivers, everything, the linemen. Where in basketball, if you stick you're the best player on the court, you have the best chance of winning, no matter who's around that guy at some points. It doesn't always true, but if you put LeBron on any team in the Eastern Conference right now, they probably win the Eastern Conference.
Why not the Western Conference?
Because the Warriors. But you know what I mean? Yeah. You put LeBron on any team in the NBA, they instantly become a top five team. And the reason people use stats is because it's a way to project going forward, in some sense. You were right, there are injuries all the time. You know, every projection is well, if this team stays healthy. The Pacers are a great example. They hadn't suffered really any major injuries in the regular season this point, even though they did have Glenn Robinson, where we're all projecting, oh, he was going to have an all-star season. He's going to have this. He's putting up this numbers, whatever.
Okay, but what
but immediately
if, like,
got to get hurt.
If Oladipo doesn't get hurt, he's just having a really rough day, and his mom yelled at him over the phone or something, and he's just got a lot on his mind, and he's missing every three and has a terrible day. And
so,
ruins everything.
So what people like to do, though, is justify it on different reasons. So if Oladipo has a bad game, people like to look back at how many minutes did he play previous night. Did he play back-to-back?
Okay.
And stuff like that. And that's how they use the stats. So they use the stats to tell a story where not – I get at some point it's just about who's better. You know, I think a great example of that is the finals 2 years ago where the Warriors lost. On paper, every game you think the Warriors are better. They got better – they have the second, the third, the fourth maybe, or whatever, wherever you put Kyrie. They have this many next best players. They move the ball this way. They got to shoot this percent. But at some point, Steph Curry didn't shoot that well from three that series, and that's why they lost. That's that. I mean, it's, you know, it's that simple. Instead of like projecting it forward and all that stuff. So, you know, I think the stats are there to tell a story in some sense. They help. You know, they help. I think some people use stats as a little bit of a macho thing to show off. Hey, I can pull out this stat from this
I know
thing.
More than you.
Yeah, I mean, it's sometimes it's a little bit of a flexing factor where certain guys like to throw in. Real plus minus or advance this stuff, advance that, and this many game and this like they like to flex, they can get this stat and kind of stuff like that. But at the end of the day,
talk about niche. You say hockey is niche.
So that part of the NBA is niche, but at the end of the day, still the NBA is popular because it's incorporated those. It's been able to merge the fans that just like the game. You know, just like watching the athletes on the court and people like looking at the stats behind the stuff. And usually, I find it. I don't like to use a ton of heavy stats because I think. You want to use stats people can understand that will tell the story.
Yeah.
And that's how you want to do it. But people like to flex with their stats. But it's the way it is. But, you know, you got to respect it. It's really what's making the NBA grow. I mean, the NBA is, in some points, going to overtake the NFL. It might not be this year. It won't be in 5 years, but it could be 10, 15. I mean, it is bigger overseas than any other sport besides soccer, which is huge for it. It's growing in America. I mean, the under 49 numbers, under 35 numbers are ridiculous because people like the NBA. I mean, you know, casual fans are coming to the NBA because they're fun to watch because there's so many good young players and they advertise players so well. And players are fun. The league is fun. The guys on social media, you know, NBA is such a highlightable social media sport.
Yeah.
It's the best social media sport because, like, you can cut up a play and put it on social media and it's up like a snap of a finger. I mean, like that. And the players are fun on social media. Like, I know you love hockey and, you know, hockey is a great sport. I think
but...
so. But the players are not. The players aren't exciting. Aren't as personable. Aren't as fun.
Okay. Have you seen Patrick Kane on Cinco de Mayo?
No. But you can name what like 5 fun hockey players. You can name 30 fun NBA players at least, and they're fun. I mean, like every team's got a guy on social media. Basically, unless you're like one of the bottom teams that has a guy. Oh, follow him on Instagram. He's making stupid videos and making fun of people or doing whatever. I mean, it's a fun sport. People have started to relate to it more because it's an easier sport to pick up. You know, everybody plays it now in their backyard or on their driveway. Not backyards, but it's a fun sport. So I'm optimistic. I like where the NBA's going, so I'm trying to get in early.
as early as possible.
Yeah, so I just have like a couple questions for you before we finish this podcast. We are now going on what? Oh, we're only at 23 minutes, so we can go about 25.
Oh, God.
I'm forward to finish this up. Why don't you watch the NBA every day? If I had asked.
Because of you.
But what does that mean? You don't need to? Is it because you don't need to?
No. I mean, I watch because you...
No, why don't you watch
the NBA? Oh, why don't I? I thought you said, why do I?
No, why don't
because
you?
Because of you.
So I was, like, confused.
I don't know. I guess I never grew up in, like, a basketball household. I played basketball in fourth grade, and I didn't really get that into it. I broke some girl's wrist, which I think was a detracting factor. But I just never, I mean, I like the sport. I like that it's fast moving. I like hockey because it's fast moving. Football is incredibly slow, which is very frustrating. But I think in basketball, I just didn't understand enough of the aspects to make me want to play it. There were a lot of unfamiliar terms that I just didn't care to really learn about. And again, with numbers and stuff, I always thought it was kind of silly that people would rely so much on them to predict the future of where, like, the direction of where the team was headed, even though obviously it does make sense. I would prefer to just think it was how they were playing based on that day. But obviously that would be where statistics come in. So I don't know. I guess I never got into it, which makes it harder now to get into it, which is probably where you struggle with hockey or with racing or whatever you are learning it now as opposed to growing up with it.
Yeah, no, I understand. I would say that also the one thing about the NBA that makes it different than all those sports is that there's not really a hot hand in the NBA. Sometimes there is, but usually, like, and even in the NFL, you sometimes get a quarterback who's just playing out of his mind for 5 weeks.
Yeah.
There's not, in the NBA, it's usually the best team wins, the best player wins.
Yeah.
Every time. So it's a little more predictable.
I will say I do like it more going to actual games, or having gone to actual games now.
You would say, you probably agree with me, it's probably the best, if you're sitting, especially in the lower bowl, the best live
event. It's awesome to
because it's like you feel like you're almost on the court. You're on top of the player. You can like
You feel very close to them,
and you just feel the action, which is better than hockey. You're divided by the glass. Football, you're too far away. Actually, in racing, obviously, it's just you're like
it's too fast
in the pits. You're not really feeling anything. So that's why I like the NBA. I think going to NBA is fun, and we're gonna go to a game later this year, so that'll be fun. That's been today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Like I said, you can catch me and Tony on tomorrow's episode. We'll break down today's Celtics game, the last week. We'll do our usual week and week forward preview. We'll also do a show on Friday before Christmas weekend, and we'll probably have a couple more shows later this week. Tony, I think, has a preview for the Hawks game. Pacers have a pretty cupcake schedule, I say right now, but who knows, coming up after the Celtics game. Hopefully they could reel off 6 of 8, something like that, and push themselves to like 24-15 or 23-16, which would put them way above the sixth seed right now. They're the five seed in the East, and we're vying for that top four seed right now because we want to get a home playoff series. So that's been it for today's Locked On Pacers podcast. I know this might be an odd one, so feel free to comment and let us know how it goes. This could be a one-time thing. This could be a multiple thing. If you like Marina, this could be a guy. This could be a
It's going to be the Marina and Tony show.
It could be an occasional thing. I don't know. Let us know what you think of this podcast. It's kind of a last-minute idea because it's been kind of the Nets game, which was not that great of a game to talk about because the Nets are not a very good team. Pacers are much better than them. So you say that, but everybody agrees
with
me.
Make them feel bad.
That's been today's Locked On Pacers podcast. Have a great rest of your day.